Matthew chapter 6 this morning. Matthew chapter 6 is what we're going to be looking into today. We also have our new devotionals starting with March, April, and May, and Betty has those at the back as well, so please get those. Get some for your family and coworkers. But before we do get into today's message, I'm going to show a video. And I said this at the beginning of service today, but I'm going to say it again, is this is from Pastor Jimmy Evans, and he needs to learn how to video himself, see how he's got it straight. I've learned that. You got to turn it the other way. He doesn't know yet. But Pastor Jimmy is somebody that he is my pastor. I listen to him a lot. He's a great teacher, and Jade and I fell in love with their ministry back in 2000. They have marriage today, him and his wife Karen. But Pastor Jimmy, I'd heard him say this 20 years ago. He loves Bible prophecy, and he's been a student of it for years. And he said he felt like there'd be a time, possibly in his lifetime, where God would call him to start coming out more public with that, because he's always known as the marriage guy. And so over the last couple of years, he has started, there's a website called endtimes.com, and you can go in there and become a subscriber. I think it's $77 a year. And you'll get videos and updates, and it's amazing how Bible and world events are going like this, and what's happening in the last days. And so he brought this video right after found out about what was happening with Ukraine and everything. And I just feel like I wanted to show that to you today, because I hope you get on there and go to endtimes.com and subscribe. But also, I as a pastor, it's important that we all have a biblical worldview. Amen. Most people don't. And even a lot of Christians don't. And so that's why I wanted to show this today before we get into the message. So go ahead and play that, guys.
Well, I know by now you know what is happening with Russia and the Ukraine. Russia has invaded the Ukraine as of this morning. And really bad situation. I want to make some comments about Russia, China, and Iran, because what is happening right now in the Ukraine, I believe, is very, very significant because of the alliance between Russia, China, and Iran that has really been hardened in the last few years. And so the Russia invading the Ukraine is incredible. It is the most provocative military move on that part of the world, in that part of the world, really since World War II. And for Vladimir Putin to have the audacity to invade Ukraine, it means several things. And first of all, I believe that it has to do with President Biden. You know about, you know, his son Hunter, that he was also involved, according to the news stories, that President Biden and Hunter were benefiting financially from Hunter's involvement in the Ukraine, using his dad basically to get financial benefit for he and his father from the Ukrainians. And so if the liberal media would have reported that, the American public would have never, ever voted Joe Biden as president of the United States. And now that he is president, there's two things that I believe that Vladimir Putin is taking advantage of. And one is that, you know, President Biden just has cognitive challenges. We all know that. He reads off a teleprompter. He is coached in how to go out and talk and things like that. And I don't say that with any sense of satisfaction. He's the president of the United States, and I want him to do a good job for all of our sake and for the world's sake. But there is that issue that, you know, people think, and, you know, the experts believe that Putin is encouraged by Biden's mental state. But the other thing is the Hunter Biden situation and also President Biden and their involvement in the Ukraine. You just have to wonder how many secrets the Russians and the Ukrainians have on the Biden family that might make them muted. It might make them a little less capable of doing what they could do or would do. And so we don't know. You know, at this point, President Biden is putting sanctions on the Russians, but it's too soon to tell what the diplomatic strategies and even the military strategies of the United States have been, and the, you know, fruitfulness of that long term. But that's number one. But number two, China, Russia, and Iran have been conducting military exercises together. And what I'm about to say is my opinion, but it's something that I really personally believe. I believe that there is an alliance between Iran, China, and Russia. See, Russia is not a big enough military power or economic power to do something like this on their own, because they're catching the wrath of Europe and the wrath of the United States, economically and otherwise. So for Putin to do this, he has to know that Xi of China has his back, and the Iranians have his back, and they do. And so let me say, this is my opinion, what I'm about to state here. I believe that there's a deal that Russia knew that they're, by the way, all of these three countries, Iran, China, and Russia, they're anti-West, they're anti-democracy, and they're expansionary. All of them want something that they don't have. Russia wants the Ukraine and probably more territory than that. They want to rebuild the former Soviet Union. And Vladimir Putin has been grieving for decades over the fall of the Iron Curtain. China wants Taiwan, and Iran wants Israel. They want Israel bad. So they're all expansionary. They're all beating the war drum and have been for a long time. And so I believe they have a deal. And the deal is this. Russia will invade the Ukraine, and China and Iran will support them militarily if necessary, but financially. By the way, China has already agreed recently to buy Russian grain, and that was a huge benefit to Vladimir Putin. I'm sure they're also going to be buying energy and other things like that from Russia, because Russia is going to lose their gas market, a lot of it, if not all of it, in Europe. The Europeans want to get away from Russia supplying so much of their gas. So I believe the Chinese have a deal that they're going to invade Taiwan. Now, Taiwan has raised their alert level today and yesterday. They're warning the Chinese jets to get out of their airspace. And so China is rattling the sword right on the heels of the Ukraine. The Chinese are rattling the sword at Taiwan, and Taiwan is on alert, on high alert of the Chinese invading. And I believe the deal is the Russians and the Iranians will back China militarily if necessary and economically when they invade Taiwan. And I believe they will invade Taiwan. I believe they'll invade them soon. The Iranians also have a deal, and that is they're going to attack Israel. And they're already on the northern border of Israel. Written about this a lot. They supply the money and the arms for Hamas, Hezbollah. They're proxies for Iran. They have a military presence on the northern border of Israel that they're building up. And Israel has warned them that we're not going to let you sit there and build an army on our northern border. And they've been, you know, shelling them there in Syria, which has caused problems with Russia. And so the Iranians know at this point, I believe, that when they bomb Israel and invade Israel, that they will be backed by the Chinese and the Russians. And by the way, all three of these countries are highly prophetic. Russia is Gog, and you know, the land of Magog. You have China, which I believe are the kings of the East, that the Bible talks about an army of 200 million. Now, some people believe that army is a demonic army. It could be, but it's interesting that in the East, we have a nation that had a one-child policy for decades, where most of the families aborted the girls and kept the boys. We have the largest country in the world in the East that could muster an army of 200 million, especially if they went together with India or somewhere else. The largest population centers in the world are in the East. And so, and of course, you have Iran, which is Persia, in Ezekiel 38 and Ezekiel 39. Highly prophetic nations, all anti-democratic, all anti-West, all expansionary, and they all have something they want. The Ukraine, Taiwan, and Israel. And I believe they've all entered into a pact to support each other and to defend each other. And this is very significant. So in End Times Prophecy, and I've talked about this now for the last couple of years, you know, in piecemeal. But now, as it comes together and you see three nations, Jesus said there would be wars and rumors of wars, nation rising against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. We're seeing an increase in earthquakes, volcanic activity, famine. The supply chain issue is causing famines. And the leader of the World Health Organization, their food bank, said unless there's billions of dollars poured into the International Food Bank, there's going to be a famine of biblical proportions. And so we see this, all the signs of the times happening. But what's happening right now, this is the most significant military provocation since World War II. And so it Ukraine wants to be a NATO country, especially Western Ukraine. They're very pro-Western. And that's what Vladimir Putin is using as part of his reasoning of taking over Ukraine, is he doesn't want a NATO nation bordering him. Of course, now he has that if he takes over the Ukraine. So it's a very, very serious situation. I'm going to come back possibly before the next Tipping Point podcast, but I wanted to just go on the record right now of just saying, I believe that this is a coordinated effort between Russia, China, and Iran, possibly others, but especially those three countries. And I think the next thing you're going to see here very soon is China invading Taiwan. I'm not predicting that. I'm just saying, based on what's happening, it seems as though that's in the cards for the next few months. And then I've also been reporting to you now that Iran has enough enriched uranium for one bomb. Okay, Benny Gantz, the defense minister of Israel, was reporting on that and warning about that last summer, that they were only a couple of months away. And so the Israeli intelligence believes they have enough for one bomb, nuclear bomb, and they recently announced that they now have a ballistic missile capable of reaching Israel and other American targets in the Middle East. And they named that missile after a war between the Muslims, when the Muslims defeated the Jews. And so, in other words, they're putting on the missile, hey, Jews, this is going to be another victory that we have when we bomb you with this missile. And so, very provocative. And Israel's on high alert right now related to the nuclear ambitions of Iran. But Iran, remember what I wrote in my book was, I believe that Israel will bomb Iran. I personally believe that. Iran is an existential threat to Israel. They will not let them get a nuclear weapon. When they do bomb Iran, I believe it could very well be the provocation for the Gog and Magog war, because Russia will respond. Russia's already warned and promised the United States and Israel that they would respond. Very, very interesting day. Jesus is coming. God is in control, and Jesus is coming. Jesus told us very clearly in Luke 17, it would be like the days of Noah and Lot, buying, selling, marrying, giving in marriage, planting, building, when he came. In other words, a very wicked world, a very evil world. The signs of the times are happening, but it's not going to be Armageddon. We're not going to go through the tribulation. Jesus is coming soon, and it's all going to be good. But in the meantime, Jesus said, look up, your redemption is drawing near. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. This morning, Dusty had sent me something that came out in Moscow, a newspaper over there, and this was at 7 o'clock this morning, our time. It says, President Vladimir Putin has ordered Russian nuclear deterrent forces on alert amid tensions with the West over the Ukraine. And you might be saying, Pastor Jimmy, Pastor Mark, why are you bringing Pastor Jimmy up here? Because you're not hearing that on the news. And I'm just here to tell you, if you come to this church as a pastor, I feel obligated from God Almighty to keep people informed of what the Word is saying. I'm just trying to use your own mind, get into the Word yourself. Don't just believe what you're hearing on the media. Amen? Because everybody's got different agendas, and that's the most accurate news that I've ever heard on what's exactly going on in this situation. And I don't care who you voted for, I'm talking about Jesus this morning, amen? And the kingdom of God, and that's what we're championing here. But these are things that you need to know in a biblical worldview about what is actually going on in our world. And I hope that this motivates you to pray. I know it has me, amen? So I want you to get your Bibles, and I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 6. And the title of today's message is, to pray with Jesus, pray like Jesus. And this is in Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to go over the Lord's Prayer. How we're going to do it, I think I've taught on it like in how we're going to do it this time is we're going to go through it line by line and to show us how to pray, because there's practical things that Jesus tells us to pray for. It's also very prophetic as well. It's practical and prophetic both ways. And we're also going to be teaching it to the kids back there too, to learn this prayer. I want to encourage you to lead your children into learning the Lord's Prayer and being able to recite it, okay? And not just for ritual sake and not just so that they, oh, I've got it memorized and all this, but really understanding what they're praying as they do it, because it will help them pray in their own life. And so we're going to just take it line by line. This is in Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 13. Guys, can you turn me down just a little bit? I feel like it's kind of loud up here. Matthew 6, verses 5 through 13, it says, "And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions." One translation said babbling. "Vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray, 'Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever.'" And everybody said, amen. I'm going to tell you where I learned that. I was studying this, I was thinking, when did I learn this prayer? And here's my earliest memory of this prayer and where I learned it at. I did not learn this prayer in church. I learned it, and she said it, Jennifer mouthed it, I learned it in the locker room too. And I was a freshman when I learned this prayer in the locker room. That's about the age, and that was when Mark moved over here from Camargo. He added a lot to our basketball and baseball team when he moved. Thank God for those Camargonians, right? The Blackhawks over there, especially when they moved the lead in the Greenway. And so Mark was with me, and we were freshmen. And by the way, when I was a freshman with Mark Ward, we could wear the same jeans. Can't do that no more. I just remember that. I remember Sherry washing jeans. I was like, "Mark, I don't have nothing to wear to school today," and I'd wear Marsha jeans to school. Can't do it now, promise you. I don't know where that thought came from, but I just was thinking about that. But Jesus refers to prayer. We'll get into this a little bit more. Matthew 6, verses 5 through 13. Jesus refers to prayer 42 times, and the Gospels record him personally praying 28 times. And when I was talking about learning this as a freshman in the locker room, the four guys that came out to me that I remember in our locker room, and Mark probably remembers this too, because we were freshmen, and thank God we had some cool upperclassmen that, you know, I know some upperclassmen can be. If you're an upperclassman, don't be mean. Amen? You need to raise up that younger generation. And so I was thankful that when we were freshmen who were seniors was Jason Harrell. These are I remember four guys that would lead the way in this before we'd go out of the locker room. It was Jason Harrell, Lane Broadbent, Clark Calloway, and Toby Walker. For some reason, those four jumped out at me when I remember. And I can remember going to OU with Mark. We went to school at OU, and Mark played baseball there. I was a student, and I can remember Toby was still reaching out to me. Toby went to OU. He was a baseball player. He'd already graduated when Mark was there, but he was still going to school, and Toby would reach out to me because he knew what I had. I was in my college years, and I don't want to get into all that because it doesn't go with the message, but it was a dark time for me. And my parents had got a divorce back here when I was a senior, and I don't blame my parents or anything like that. When a kid leaves home a senior year and goes to someplace as big as OU, you can get lost in a hurry, and especially when I had some other personal things going on. And Toby, and I appreciate this about Toby, and we still have a great relationship to this day, but he would reach out to me. He would call me and say, "Hey, man, what are you doing?" And he'd come pick me up, and we'd go driving around, or I'd hang out with Toby. And I just thought, here I am. I'm a little freshman hanging out with the senior again, you know. And I really appreciate Toby doing that. And I say that to say this, is find you somebody that you can disciple in this, in prayer. And it's not just constantly praying for them, but just being there for them. I appreciate, I've got relationships within our church, but also relationship with other pastors. I know I mentioned Pastor Lawrence. It was a comfort to me when he texted me Friday morning and said, hey, everything's going to be okay today, you know. And we need friends and relationships like that. And so, but we're talking about prayer today. And Jesus, here it is. Jesus refers to prayer 42 times, and the Gospels record him personally praying 28 times. In Luke 11, verse 1, it says, now it came to pass, as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, then one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples to pray. And this fascinated me because they didn't ask Jesus, teach me how to minister to the sick. Jesus, teach me how to do miracles. Teach me how to lay hands on the sick and they recover. Teach me how to open blind eyes. Teach me how to make the lame walk. Teach me how to raise the dead. They didn't say any of that. They said, teach me how to pray. So they saw what Jesus modeled in his life. They knew where the power was coming from. It was from his prayer life, the times that he was in prayer with his Father. Now, Jesus says two things in Matthew 6. Jesus points out two things before telling us how to pray in Matthew 6, verses 5 through 8. And I'm just going to flip back there just real quick to show you what he says. He says, and when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have the reward. But you, when you pray, and there's a time for public prayer, but Jesus is teaching the difference between the two. Go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret rewards you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions or babblings as the heathen do, for they think that they will be heard for their many words. Therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. All right? And so here's the two things that go back to what Jesus was teaching. Number one, be sincere. All right? Here's the deal. God already knows what's going on in your life. Be honest. Be open. Be transparent. Just open up your heart to God and say, Father, you know, I'm afraid. I remember saying that to him this week. I'm battling fear, and I need your help. But he already knows what you're going through. Be sincere. Open up to him. And you don't have to go to him with thee, thou, and speaking in the old King James, okay? He's oh, people get hung up in that. You know, and I learned the Lord's Prayer in the King James Version, but you can say it in other ways as well. So just be sincere. Be you. Be who God created you to be. You can go into God's presence mad. Amen? Now, I promise if you stay in there long enough, you'll come out changed. And that's what you want to do. Stay there until you have that. The old-timers called it pray till you break through. Stay there until you break through, okay? And then the second thing is be concise. And this just means, same as being sincere, but be concise. Just let God know what you're going through. A lot of times we get in our prayer lives and we bring this big old laundry list to God of everything that we want him to do, and it's almost like we're manipulating God. Amen. I've been in prayer meetings, okay, and I believe in prayer meetings when you're praying with people that know how to pray. I've been in prayer meetings instead of us two having a conversation about something that somebody's praying about something, and I'm using this in this example because sometimes you can get caught up in doing this as a husband and wife, okay? Like I'm praying with Jada, and I say, Lord, just make Jada a better wife. You know, Janice, you know, that's manipulation and control, all right? The how you should pray is, Father, make me a better husband. And when she hears that, you know what's going to happen to her? She's going to be a better wife. But a lot of times, I've actually been in prayer meetings where somebody's trying to manipulate you and control you through their prayers so that you will hear it and do what they say. And I'm sitting there going, we might as well, let's just go have a talk. Just talk about it. That's not a good prayer meeting, amen? And the reason why I'm using that is because a lot of times we go to God like that, and we're trying to manipulate God and make him do what... And I also want to say this, and we're going to get into this in really in depth over, you know, the next several weeks. I don't know how long it'll take us to go through this, but we're going to go through it in depth. But this be concise is just be you. Don't try to manipulate God. The thing that I wanted to say was prayer is more listening than talking. And that's where you want to get to with God. Yeah, we talk and we pray, but start listening more. And saying, you know, I'm just going to, a lot of times in my vehicle, I'll just turn off the radio and, you know, and the music and just silence and just say, Lord, just speak to me, you know. And he'll talk to you. I love this. There's a story, and I won't tell you where or when this happened or all that good stuff, but it's been years ago, back in the 90s. I was filling in a church one time, and their protocol was at the end of church that somebody in the church dismissed in prayer. That was their protocol, what they did, which is great, you know. And I can remember up there, and the church service was over. I'd brought the message that morning, and there was a gentleman over here to my left that was designated to say the benediction prayer. And so everybody stood up, and he's over here, and he's praying, 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 and he's thanking God for the birds outside. Seriously, he said that in his prayer. He said, I thank you, God, for the birds that are tweeting outside, because we'd hear the birds tweeting outside. And he's praying, and everybody's standing up. Everybody's standing ready, and I'm standing up behind the pulpit. You know, and after a little bit, it's like, dude, read the room. Can you not feel the room right now? Because I can hear people grabbing their purses and like, God Almighty, is he ever going to stop praying? And I'm serious. It was got to that point. I'm like, we're going. I just wanted to shout out amen while he's. And I kid you not, in the back there, like where Will's at, there was a dad standing up with a little toddler in his hands. And this little toddler, God spoke through this little toddler that morning, a prophetic word, a word of wisdom. And this little toddler, this is what, two words. He said, enough already. And everybody in there started dying laughing. And then, of course, the gentleman said amen, and we went home. So sometimes I'm like, when we bring those laundry lists to God and we're just going on and on and on and on trying to manipulate and control God and trying to flower him up and flatter him with all of our words and all this stuff, I think God's just saying, enough already. You know, just tell me what's going on. All right. The scripture that we're going to learn is just the first one. Our Father in heaven. Everybody say that. Our Father in heaven. And this may surprise you, because a lot of times we read this and we just skim right over it. But in Genesis 24, verse 42, in the Old Testament, how they prayed to God was they called God, God. Okay? They had never heard anybody call God Father until this moment here when Jesus was teaching them. He said, our Father in heaven. Genesis 24, verse 42, just a couple Old Testament scriptures. O Lord God of my master Abraham. That was one of Abraham's servants. He's actually praying to God through Abraham. Okay, we pray to God now through Jesus. But I'm just showing you that they didn't have it. There was no relationship there. Do y'all see that? No relationship. He's praying to God of my master Abraham. 2 Chronicles 14, verse 11, O Lord, our God. So it's just God. And I love this scripture, Matthew 6, 6 says, But when you pray, go into your room. And I'm going to tell you this. I pray a lot in my vehicle because I got a lot of windshield time, but it's good if you have a place designated for prayer that's like your little chapel that you go to, because it's that real estate term, location, location, location. You need something that's going to prepare your mind and your heart that when I go to that certain spot, that's when I pray. It's good to have that, but it can be in your car. Amen. Don't get all religious about it. Don't get so legalistic that you're saying, well, I got to build a closet so I can pray. You know, literally. If you have a prayer closet, that's great. You know, but you can do it in any room. You can do it in the living room, den. You know, bathroom. Any bathroom prayers? Oh yeah. Okay. Moving right along. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father. I love how Jesus says it. He doesn't say my Father. He says your Father, who is in the secret place, and your Father who sees, your Father again, who sees in secret, will reward you openly. So Jesus is telling him, he's not only my father, he's your father too. Okay, here's the Matthew 26, verse 39 is a powerful scripture. And the reason why I put this in here is this is when the battle was won for the cross for you and I. Okay? And it says, he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, and this is where Jesus got real with his father. He said, oh, my father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. And he's talking about going to the cross. And then he says this, nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. And I'm so thankful that he prayed that prayer and then answered that prayer by being our sacrifice. And here's number two, the second part. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Everybody say that, hallowed be your name. The word hallowed, we don't use that a whole lot in English, but it's a Greek word. In the Greek, it means to be holy, to be set apart for a special purpose, to be sacred. Hallowed be your name. So we want to have this relationship, Father God, and actually in the Greek, that's Abba Father, which means basically saying daddy, daddy, or poppy. You know, I'm poppy in my house. And the other day, Ava was standing at the window, and I could read her lips, and she was saying, Papa, Papa. And then my heart just, I'll give you anything, little one, I'll give you anything. So God wants to have that intimate relationship with us, but he also wants you to know that his name is holy as well. And I love Mark. Didn't even know what I was teaching on today, and we were up here and we were praying together, and I told him to pray over us, and he was praying, and he started off his prayer. He said, Daddy. And then he went in, and it started off very intimate, and then it went into, it was not a daddy like, it was a daddy like, I reverence you, Daddy. I reverence you, Father. And so you have to, it's that, everybody understand that's that tension there. I hate to use the word tension, but just God wants you to be able to come in his presence anytime, but also know that he is the God of the universe as well. Amen. And I'll show you something here in a little bit, a visual aid that I think will help with that. So hallowed be your name. In fact, the scholars in the Old Testament says whenever they came to the name God in the Old Testament, what they would do is when they had to pen his name, they would go get a new pen because they said you couldn't even use the old pen that had already been writing. You had to go get a new pen, and then after you wrote God's name, Jehovah, you had to break the pen and get rid of it. That's how hallowed or holy they knew the name of God to be. But here's the deal. God wants us to come in his presence as sons and daughters, knowing that he's Daddy God. All right? There's a picture here, and I'll just, before I put it up here, this is a picture, and we're going to close with this. This is a picture of John F. Kennedy back when he was president. This is in the Oval Office. And they say that when he was president, he was a very young president. They said that any time he was in there, no matter who he was meeting with, if he was meeting with leaders, military leaders, whatever, that if he heard his kids outside the Oval Office, because they were little at that time because he was a young president, he would tell them, everybody get out of my office, because my kids are coming in. And he would tell them that. And so somebody caught this picture of JFK, and you can't really tell if that picture's kind of dark, but he's clapping, and his kids are standing there in the Oval Office, and they're dancing. Now, this is a perfect visual aid of how God wants us to come into his presence. Yeah, he's president. He's CEO of the universe, but he also wants us to come into his throne room and just dance, and he's going to clap and play with us. And if there's a whole bunch going on in the world, he's going to tell everybody, get out. My kids are coming in. Amen. And so I want you to get that mental picture of the Lord, that our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning. And there's two ways we're going to go out today. First of all, I want us to repeat this prayer. If you know it by heart, you can follow along with me, okay? And I want you to, we're going to go through this line by line and verse by verse to really get it into us. And then I also want you to start doing this with your children at home and teaching them this and but also telling them the meanings behind it so that they understand what they're praying, so it'll help them in their prayer life. And guys, I'm telling you, you can't start too soon. You can't start too late either. You know, you can do it right now with your children. And I love it to see our grandkids learning how to pray. Tay and Cameron pray over their children, and then they're knowing the importance of praying. And the other day, it was so neat seeing Jarek, you know, the comfort and the peace that it brings your children when you pray over them. So I want you to say this with me if you know it by heart. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And everybody said, amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed still this morning, before we leave today, I want to make sure that everybody here knows Jesus as their Lord and Savior. I know most of you here today do, because I know you, but sometimes I don't know, and I don't want to ever take that for granted. And there's people that even watch this online and listen to this on the radio. So I want to lead you in this prayer. The Bible says that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, then it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I want to lead you in this prayer of salvation, help you to call upon the name of the Lord. So I want you to repeat this prayer after me. And even if you are saved, I want you to repeat this prayer with them. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. If that's the first time you prayed that prayer, welcome to the family of God. Your next step of obedience, if you haven't done it yet, is to follow the Lord in water baptism. We can do that next Sunday if you want to get with me after service. Jada, will you come up here? And I want everybody to stand up in here, and we're going to speak a blessing over you this morning out of Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. Everybody learn something today? Okay, we're going to learn how to pray like Jesus prayed. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you, and may the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ, to the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Hug somebody's neck and say, I know how to pray. Amen. Start praying. Just do it.